Robert.
Hey, Lucinda.
How was your weekend?
I'm still trying to recover. It was art-filled. We started this weekend with the ballet, an amazing triple bill. I mean, these are my favorite, right? You put three modern pieces together, and I still do not understand why this isn't everyone's favorite. I believe this more than anything else. I know people love Swan Lake, and they love a story. I love a triple bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. You get to see the dancers be able to basically character swap throughout the evening and show off their most amazing talents in three different ways. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Let's break it down then. What was the first piece?
We started off with a lovely Water Dances. Water Dances was very, the costuming in Water Dances were very.
It was ethereal, yeah?
Yes. Yes, that's perfect
word for
it. Someone
almost had a wardrobe slip.
Oh,
did you see that?
Really?
Up in midair.
The top or the bottom?
The top.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they were very sheer. And then I guess it was high-waisted bell bottom for the rest. Maybe silky?
It was like a palazzo pant, very gauzy.
Yes. They did an absolute beautiful job.
I found it to be like a ballet version of a contemporary art piece.
Ooh.
In a stage of four people, they were doing the same choreography, mm-hmm. just two beats behind the leader, and then two beats behind that person, then two beats behind. So everybody was on a different beat.
Oh, yeah. This was the only piece of the three that had live music.
Yeah.
So we had our beautiful pianist on her 51st season.
Amazing.
With Philadelphia Ballet. She is absolutely incredible and brings such a beautiful piece alive with the live music. Again, you know, you only get to see this at so many ballets where they have the opportunity to have live music as well. The other two pieces that followed were both recordings.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the second piece?
Dance Card.
I have a few notes on this. There's that one sequence where there's the one female dancer and several male dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting Madonna's Material Girl, that and Diamonds Are Girl's Best Friend,
yes,
during that
little
section.
Little Moulin Rouge-y.
Also, I was getting Cotillion at Any Southern School.
Oh, yes. I was getting Downton Abbey or Gilded Age, a little Gilded Age or a little Downton
Bridgerton.
Abbey. Little Bridgerton, yes. I mean, all of that. So great. Everybody's like in a little tuxedo.
Or a skirted dress.
Yes. And this was choreographed by Philadelphia Ballet dancer Russell Decker, who is an amazing dancer on the company, as well as a choreographer. Russell originally choreographed this piece during COVID.
Wow.
And so this is the first time that the audience was able to see this live. Previously, it had been recorded through the studios during COVID and then streamed online. And so it was absolutely great to see everybody in person be able to do this, nice. This piece. It was gorgeous.
I also want to shout out this one gentleman. I think his name is Isaac.
Yes.
Who you could tell was just having so much fun during the piece.
The there was smile.
A look of joy.
Oh, all the time.
When a lot of people had a more serene expression, he was having a ball up there.
Isaac's having
a
blast.
It was hard not to enjoy it for him.
It's been great to see him grow over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to see him get closer and closer to the front of the stage each performance.
Yes. I think he was actually featured on a recent program photo.
I believe so.
Third piece. By this point in the performance, my husband had to take my two small sons home. They were being a little naughty that night. Note to self, bring them on Saturdays where they don't take as many naps rather than Fridays where they have a structured day at daycare. Yes. And are ready to party all night. Yes. So by that point, Eli Alford, friend of the pod, joined me in Petit Garçon's seat.
Nice.
And he informed me before it started that this piece included the entire company. I still haven't looked at my program from that night, so what do I know?
Yes. And was that incredible? You got to see basically the entire company on stage in movement, quick movement, and they slowly took over the entire Academy stage.
It was so powerful.
Built upon itself as you went on. Lines, straight lines of female dancers and male dancers intertwining then together. It was such a building moment towards the end that the entire audience just erupted in a standing applause mm-hmm. when it came to conclusion.
As great as the soloists and the principals are, I like looking toward the back to the core because you just know that these kids are up and coming. They are hungry. They are dancing their hearts out back there.
Correct. Correct.
It's so exciting to see them get promoted.
Oh, it's great. And look, this might be like the first time that they had an opportunity to really highlight what they can do on stage beyond being an extra in Swan Lake or an extra in Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. These pieces give them the ability to show next to a principal dancer how well they can keep up and they can perform just as well.
And in such an athletic piece.
Yes.
I just mentioned getting excited for those dancers who get promoted. And on that note, big congratulations to newly appointed principal dancer of the Philadelphia Ballet,
So Jun Shin. She is the Sarah Brad Marshall principal dancer now and is absolutely incredible to see her growth over the years. They had two other promotions at the close of Swan Lake for Austin Eiler, who was moved from soloist to first soloist, and Thais Gulls, who's been promoted first soloist from soloist.
Apologies to Thais if we got your name pronunciation wrong.
Yes.
Okay, before we move on to Ardish, fuck, marry, kill the bolero pieces.
Okay.
Somebody has to die.
Someone has to die. Oh, gosh. I'm going to hate myself for this, but I'm going to kill dance card. Screw water dances, and I am going to marry bolero. How about you? You made me do it. Now you have okay. to.
No, I've already thought about this. After curtain call and we were filtering out, I made people around me play this game.
No way. Did Eli?
I told him it could be off the record. Screw bolero. Marry water dances, kill dance card.
We're brutal.
That's life.
I know.
Okay, let's move on to PMA Ardish. First of all, how many people do you think were there?
It is capped at 1,000. People. So
I think I counted more than 1,000.
Yeah, I know.
It's the fire marshal there.
Oh, you would hope so. I didn't see one.
Okay. Question. How many floors are there in the PMA?
So the best thing about Ardish is it moves throughout the museum through the evening. Yeah. So you start on the ground floor, you make your way to floor one, and then you move up into the grand staircase as well as the balcony of the grand staircase of the museum. And so the performances move with the evening.
And we know that at the most, there are 450 young friends.
Yes. You have not only the young friends, but we saw people of all ages
yeah.
at the museum that evening.
21 and up, guys.
Oh, yes.
They checked ID.
Yes, they did. It's a great experience because art and artists are sprinkled throughout the event mm-hmm. As you make your way through each one of those levels.
Yeah. I wanted to shout out the intern who got the vendors there.
Oh, yes.
We loved meeting, I believe it was Kelly Harper Crosby.
Yes, Kelly was great.
And Stephen Yeu.
And Stephen Yeu, to the point where Stephen was producing art in real time at the museum on site with a beautiful bouquet of flowers that he was recreating and painting. And he had his portfolio with him and was selling art. And I had...
Did you buy art?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was great. He had an amazing cloud piece that he was able to share a little bit about and about his inspiration of how the art came together. And so with that, I had to whip out the credit card and click purchase. We also want to give a shout out to Callie, who did some beautiful watercolors of every person who wished to have theirs done in real time. Maybe we'll highlight on the Instagram.
Yes. A highlight for me was going through the rotating exhibition, as well as the modern and contemporary and impressionist galleries. You know, there were relatively few people in the galleries as opposed to the great spaces, which I kind of see it as a huge missed opportunity because these spaces are typically so crowded.
And even with 1,000 people there, most of the people were on the dance floor or they were listening to the music. So you at points had an entire gallery to yourself.
And now I guess we're going to get to the conversation.
Yeah, on to the conversation. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerlin.
Hello, hello.
Today we have Colin Pisano, Sam Gasparri, and of course the lovely Katie Sorensen of the Museum for Art and Wood. Thank you all for joining us today.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Robert.
Colin and Sam, let us into your world a little bit and tell us about you and share your true e-Hollywood story with us. Yeah.
Colin, go first.
All right. I was a self-taught drummer growing up. I probably started playing in bands when I was about 14 and played like basement shows for a couple of years.
Wow. What instrument did you start with?
I played drums for
Excellent.
Yeah, for a while. And then kind of got sick of carrying drums into a basement.
Yes, you know? Does.
So I was like, I'm going to play guitar now. So then I had to teach myself to play guitar to play in the band that I was in.
Wow.
I left for a year and then came back. I had to teach myself how to play guitar. And during that time, I was going to school for woodworking at University of the Arts. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And so I felt like such a long time that these two things were separate.
Yes.
And then as time has passed, I've realized that they're related and they're very similar, actually.
Wow.
So it's been an interesting progression to get to that point, to realize they're connected.
How did you start in the woodwork?
I went to school, University of the Arts, for industrial design originally.
Nice.
And during my first semester, we got about 3 weeks in, and I was just thinking, man, I hate this. So I dropped out of that and messed around. I wanted to play drums while I was at school, but I was in an apartment in the dorms. So I took a drum class as an excuse, and the teacher was saying, I don't know why you're here. You don't need to learn. I said, I just want to play.
Yes.
So I had to declare my major sophomore year going in, and my friend was going to the crafts department and said, would you like to come with me? And I said, sure. And I ended up picking wood and just really enjoying it. And
wow.
Yeah, strange way to get there.
Yes, but yes. How do you work that with that art form now?
I do a lot of woodcuts now.
Okay.
I like comics, and there's one Philadelphia artist, Charles Burns, that I really like. And the style that he does is very high contrast, and I thought there has to be somebody who's doing this kind of thing in woodcut. And I found there's this whole history from the 1920s before that. Lynn Ward, Franz Masriel, to be Exact are doing these graphic novels in woodcut. So I decided to do one also. And that was the first project that me and Sam worked on.
Oh, that's incredible.
We did a score to the graphic novel that I made.
How about you, Sam? How about your...
Yeah, so I kind of did a similar thing. I started playing guitar, I guess, when I was maybe 13 or something like that, and just took to it pretty hard for a long time. I went to Temple for jazz guitar. Nice. For music. And yeah, and so I taught guitar lessons for a long time and, you know, did like working musician thing of like playing in pit orchestras and just taking gigs and, you know, trying to hustle, doing that kind of stuff. The entire time also playing in like kind of punk rock and heavy metal bands.
Nice.
And playing in basements as well a lot. And which I still do. I play in a band called Destructos, and like my elevator pitches, it's we sound like evil B-52s.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Like it.
Yeah. So I never really stopped ever doing that kind of thing in tandem with other kinds of music. For a long time, I was playing in like in free improvisation.
Nice.
Style of music and all sorts of stuff. Taking lessons in composition and arranging for like more classical related things.
Very nice.
And so pretty broad music experience and education. While at the same time, as it became more difficult to consistently make money doing that, trying to find also, you know, a second job as well. Apprentice as a guitar repair technician.
Wow.
A luthier at DePinto Guitars in Fishtown.
Yes.
Chris DePinto, you know, has had a store in Philadelphia since like the early 90s. I went in the store one day and I asked if they were hiring. And I just happened to be the first person that asked on the day that the one other person that worked there happened to quit.
Oh my
which
gosh.
Is totally insane because when I worked yes. there every day, all the time, people are constantly coming in and be like, "Are you guys hiring?" or something like that. So the biggest
just divine intervention.
Truly the biggest divine intervention.
He was throwing a smock on the way out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and so then I started learning how to fix instruments, which is something I had wanted to do for a long time, doing guitar repair. And yeah, and it's just kind of things naturally progressed from there. I left that job and got a job working in a furniture shop, making furniture. And from there, got the job at Penn. We work with Colin together in the fabrication studio at the architecture department at Penn.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not go to Penn.
Okay. Neither did I.
But I went to the Maryland School for Architecture, Planning, and Preservation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not in architecture, but in preservation and in their fourth grad program, okay, real estate cool. development. But back to you guys.
Yeah. And so that's how me and Colin met. We met through this job.
Well, we met before that, but...
But the thing is, we're both generally from the same area in South Jersey.
Okay.
And we both have been in the same circles of people doing similar things.
We both went to Catholic schools.
Yeah. Nice. Catholic I went to Catholic high school. Yeah, yeah. And I guess we had crossed paths, but I didn't remember. And I have a bad memory.
Did you
remember
Colin?
No.
Okay, so it makes it worse.
Yeah, it wasn't
better.
Like we had like a real but, exchange, but...
But the first day he came in, I kept being like, "You look familiar. I don't know where I know you."
Yeah,
from.
And then we realized we know all of the same people and have been in the same room as each other.
Yes.
And done like, you know, so many connections for over a decade. And then, yeah, and then we met through a job.
Can you tell us what inspires you? Maybe we can start with Colin.
The thing about woodworking that really, really excites me is that there's this huge history of people just trial and error trying to figure out this thing and just getting a little closer every time. And that, like, everything that I'm doing or I'm able to do with woodworking is because somebody else laid the groundwork for it.
Wow.
And that history. And then I'm able to have my own experiences and speak through this material. And this is like a through line connection through the whole history of woodworking that I'm contributing like a very small part of to this, like, long story, which wow. I think is really exciting.
Yes, definitely.
Like I mentioned before, I also like graphic novels. That's a really big influence on my work, you know, making a graphic novel or just a lot of the objects I make now are woodcut, so it's very similar, very graphic, you know, black and white kind of line. And then me and Sam both really like movies. I mean, a lot of our conversations are about movies. I really like Italian horror.
That's, really?
Yeah.
Oh, like old Italian horror or yeah,
like
recent?
Like 70s.
Okay.
Italian horror, yeah.
Guys, this is going to be a cool movie night. How about yourself, Sam?
I think it's dependent on what the project is. But at the same time, I kind of find that, or I think I've found in the past couple of years, you kind of really can't escape yourself to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to play in like a really, really heavy metal band called Mob Terror. When we were working on the album that our most recent album in my current band, Destructos, I kind of had this realization that I'm like, I think this is, we're kind of talking about, it's very different music, but right. A lot of the, I think, inspiration behind like the lyrics and just conceptually, it was very, very similar, which was kind of really surprising. And then I started kind of, once I noticed that, I kind of started seeing it in most things. So I think it's in a similar vein to Colin. I'm kind of about making things in a pretty broad sense. I felt a little uncomfortable trying to take like a hard stance and like make like a real like talk about something that felt maybe important in some degree. So just talking about things in my life that felt important, like food.
And we all need it.
Yeah, food, thinking that outer space is beautiful, yes. And loving furniture and things like, I think like just kind of universal, relatable things,
yeah.
That are kind of really, kind of foundationally very important to life and, you know,
it's also,
are big in their own way.
It's yeah. Also yeah. Hard to force and like to direct sometimes, like on both ends of it, it's yeah. Hard to like, to make work about something that you're necessarily not interested in. Is really hard to do,
right.
But also trying to get away from the thing that you are interested in, I think is pretty hard sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Something like that. You know, and I do love, yeah, I love movies. I've always loved movies. I think my dad played a lot of classical music growing up, a lot of opera. My earliest experiences with art in general are kind of part of a system. Like, you know, like music and opera is a narrative and a story.
Yep.
It's a performance, like acting, and it's music and it's stage, you know, it's a multimedia thing. Natural progression from that to film work that is informing and kind of thinking about things narratively has right. Been it's kind of hard to get rid of. But oh. So, and he was one of the first people in the world to have DirecTV. So,
oh,
my dad. So, in 1998, we had like 500 movie channels.
What? Yes,
so pretty crazy.
It's never ending then.
Yeah, yeah. So,
the
we just watch. Yeah, we just watch movies all day.
Yeah. So. It's an amazing way to fill the time.
Yeah.
Katie, can you let us know what the Museum for Art and Wood has in store for these two friends and artists?
So one of the things that I try to do in my position at the Museum for Art and Wood is to activate our current exhibitions through engaging programming. And so the two exhibitions that are currently up right now, which is Katie Hudnall, The Longest Distance Between Two Points, curated by Jennifer Nava-Milliken, our executive director and chief curator. And then Strange Woodcraft, Weird and Eerie Sculpture from the Museum's Permanent Collection, which was curated by our assistant curator, Amrit Mishra. We have done various kind of cross-discipline tours of the museum in the past, one of which was partnering with Usiliqui, which is a East Asian traditional dance company.
Oh, wow.
And they activated our Mashrabia project that took place in 2023, which was funded by the Pew. And they gave a dance performance that took guests through the exhibition in a type of a tour. Ruminating on that concept, I wanted to find a way to connect the two current exhibitions together through a sensory tour and connecting our permanent collection to that as well. So I approached Colin and I was like, hey, I have this kind of weird idea, but I know that you like weird ideas.
We do.
And yes. Like, I want to do something that is different and causes the audience to experience the museum in a totally different way through sight, sound, scent, physical experience.
Right, a whole activation.
Yes, yeah. So I kind of presented that to Colin, and we talked for a while about it, and then he went and brought Sam in, and I went from there. But I just want to say before that, your live performance for your
graphic novel,
they actually did it at the Museum for Art and Wood.
Oh, that's incredible. Yes. So
that was in 22?
I think 22.
Yeah, fall of 22. So we've kind of done something.
It's like a great partnership. Before,
so it kind of felt like a natural fit.
Yeah, it's kind of like an evolution from that, where, you know, the score, you know, is written beforehand and then performed live to a projection of the book.
Animated.
Yeah, and an animated version of the book. Yeah, they're very, I think in a way, it's like a development, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
How this is working is Sam's running a 10-second delay that I'm playing guitar through. So as I play something, it comes back 10 seconds later, so I'm then responding to that thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We lucked out because of the title of the show.
Yeah,
we didn't know the title of the show until...
Absolutely.
You announced it. So really we were like, oh, yeah, totally planned that out.
Yeah. And also, like, there will be like microphones in the room, which will be picking up the sounds of things happening in the room. And that is also getting on a delay and is getting put out and then, or brought in and then put back out again. So it's kind of like recycling sounds and things like that. And,
yeah, it'll be another way that the audience is actually participating.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like a nerdy classical music, a gekunstmacht Werk, a full work of art. Sorry.
That's great. You're in the show.
This is the music school classical music thing.
See, we all learned something today.
Gekunstmacht Werk. It's a total piece of art, yeah, I think, is the idea.
Wow. Awesome.
Can you spell it?
I could. It's a long one.
When can the audience see the production?
So this event, the title for the event is Hold Signal, A Response to Distance. So that is connecting the two exhibitions, and that's going to be taking place April 17th, Thursday at 7:30. You can come join us. It is a free event. To have this experiential tour.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this 7:30 a hard start time?
Oh. My experience with all of our events and programming, not just us, but ones that I attend, you always leave at least 10 minutes. 10 to 15 minutes.
Just be there at 7:30, guys.
Yeah.
We run on punk time.
Yeah, I was about to say punk time is the phrase. I love that. Punk time would be more extreme. It would be listed at 7:30 and it would start at 9.
Right.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Or whenever there's enough people in the room to feel comfortable that we've done well.
Yeah. But
they will not be on punk time.
That is a good point, though. Space is limited. So if you want to attend, you have to RSVP.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. On the museum's website.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes.
So just so that everybody knows, that is the last week for Strange Woodcraft.
Oh,
so
good
it
to know.
Closes on Sunday, April 20th. So it's just this event is kind of like the celebration of having that exhibition in the space.
Beautiful.
But Katie Hudnall, that exhibition will be up through July 20th.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We're going to move into some rapid-fired question rounds. Gentlemen, if you could share which piece of art you could have in your home, if you could choose any, what would it be?
There is a piece that I've been very obsessed with for the past couple years. It's an M.C. Escher print called Puddle, and I've...
That's also my favorite.
I feel like so many people know M.C. Escher for The Stairs or the sphere, like the mirrored sphere kind of stuff, but there's something about this print. It's pretty amazing.
It's still about optics because it's a puddle, so it's a drawing of a puddle, and so you see the reflection in it and how it's all broken up. It's really beautiful and interesting.
I like the footprints in it.
Yeah, and the tire tracks. It's very mysterious and very, it's very calming, but it also has this kind of like little like edge to it, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like mysterious.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know maybe a specific painting, but pretty much anything by like any Dutch master stuff, yep. Like Bruegel or something like yeah. that.
What about the bread painting?
I do love Salvador Dali, and he did a still life. It was a series he did through his life of still lifes of bread. Really, you would not think it's a Salvador Dali painting necessarily if you saw it, but it is. Yeah, it's just a still life of a loaf of bread, and it's just beautiful.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was his favorite painting too, or anything by William Turner. I don't know.
Lovely, like, yeah, lovely.
Sorry, that was a lot.
We're gonna steal it. We're gonna. I want all the paintings.
Yes.
Let us know a Philly artist that the city might be sleeping on.
I feel like there are so many great artists in Philadelphia. I think that more so, if it's all right, I'd like to talk about there's this gallery that opened a few months ago called Procession, and it's on 2nd and just below Market. And they have a show up right now that I went to go see and really, really enjoyed. It's a lot of young artists, really, really cool. And then I think a lot of the collective spaces. I think Da Vinci Art Alliance is great.
Yes.
We love Sam.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yes, we all do.
Sam Connors.
Thank you.
She's great.
My two Sams, yeah. Yeah, I think DVA is great. I think that Common Press is cool. I think that Space 1026 is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think there's a
The comic book store Partners and Sons yeah. is a great...
They're in my neighborhood.
They're a really great store.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... I think that Philadelphia has so much great stuff. I mean, I'm sure, you know, that's the what your this podcast is about.
we're trying.
From the musical side, I mean, there's... It's such an incredible city for music. There's so many incredible musicians from so many genres. I mean, I think he's moved to Los Angeles, but my friend Simon Martinez makes music under the name Flanafi. Absolutely amazing, crazy kind of prog R&B or something.
Wow,
like
okay,
that.
Great.
Michael Johnson has a record label called Boiled Records.
Nice.
That just everything that has come out on that label, I'm a big fan of. He produced my band Destructo's most recent album. There's a band called Carnivorous Bells.
Yes.
Just they're like a really good rock and roll band.
Okay.
They're amazing. There's so many I'm gonna
We're
be forgetting.
Sleeping on a lot, guys.
Hey guys, this was rapid fire.
yeah. Sorry.
Cassie Crutt.
Yeah. You could throw a stone and hit like 10 great. You know, yeah.
I have an extra rapid fire question. What's your favorite place in Philadelphia to listen to music?
Again, I think it's dependent. I'm not gonna lie.
One choice.
I love a basement. I love a dirty basement.
Okay, all right, that's not
dirty
bad.
DIY yes. basement. That's my favorite.
Sounds perfect.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's the real answer.
If you could describe the Philly art scene in one word, what would it be?
Scrappy.
Yeah, honest. I feel like it's. Scrappy, honest.
Those are great. And your current favorite beverage?
I really, really like the espresso beans from Fontes in the Italian Market. They have two different blends. They have their signature blend, and then they have the blend that the father, the owner, had drank every morning. And it's amazing, and it's the kind of thing that going to sleep, I'm excited to wake up to drink this espresso.
That's the best drink.
Well,
what's the name of that business near your house that we go to a lot? So Cafe Ida on Passyunk Ave. I live in West Philly. I will drive to go there.
Okay, last question. Are you a Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, or Samantha?
I'm a Samantha, 1,000%.
Colin,
I had an older sister. I watched so much Sex and the City.
I don't watch Sex and the City, so I can't say.
So outside the Museum for Art and Wood on April 17th, where can the audience find you and your work?
I just have an Instagram. My it's called Mega Clang with 2 G's, Clangg. And I think. You know, Destructo's also has an Instagram. It's just Destructo's PHL Philadelphia.
I have a website. It's colinpezzano.com, P-E-Z-Z-A-N-O. I do shows from time to time. That's kind of it.
Yeah, I do have to give a small little self-promotion. I do also a film series once a month at Launderette Records in Port Richmond.
Awesome.
It's called Cinema Diabolique, Deviant Films from the First-ish Half of the 20th Century. But it's a monthly movie series that I do as well.
Excellent.
And, yeah, just cool.
We're all going to have to check it out.
Yes. Well, I think the next one will be April 15th.
I think it's getting warmer again, so people are...
Oh, people are coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
They're ready for it, too.
Yeah.
Yes! Well, thank you, everyone, for your time today and for your continued inspiration. We can't wait to join the Museum for Art and Wood on April 17th. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. What are you up to this weekend?
Laundry.
Oh.
Maybe a nap.
Yes.
Toting Petit Garçon to all of his activities.
Perfect. That'll be great. We're also having like a chill weekend, so it should be good.
Yes.
As far as this weekend, there's a community paint day at the People's Gallery Project. It's an adult art program, Friday, March 28th. From 6:30 to 8:30, the People's Gallery Project is located in Washington Square West, 10th and Pine. There is an exhibition at the Barnes, Cecily Brown, Themes and Variations. Adult tickets are $30, seniors $28, students $5, and members are free. Lastly, there's an exhibition tour for the 99th Annual Solo Exhibitions, which is a guided tour of the three current exhibitions at the Prince Center, led by Lauren Rosenblum, who joined us on the podcast only a few weeks ago. And that is Wednesday, April 2nd at 5:30. Registration is requested, though not required. Okay, in news, what do we have?
We have been exploring, as we've had conversations, the upcoming semi-quincentennial.
Nice pronunciation.
Thank you.
That's a tricky word.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Took a couple tries. And so they are starting to pop up. And one of the great announcements is a three-year partnership between Mural Arts Philadelphia and the Mann Center. They are highlighting their partnership with Voices of Hope Activations. That'll be a three-year project starting in 2025 as part of the annual Voices of Hope, an event in celebration of Black excellence. And that's scheduled for June 9th, 2025. And then they're also doing a fence line mural installation in 2026 in celebration of both Mann's 50th anniversary and highlighting one of West Parkside's artists in creating a mural at the Skyline Stage fence line. They also, in 2027, will have a collaborative visual summer camp with Mural Arts Education Department and the Mann Center itself, with a cross-disciplinary summer camp for students of Philadelphia's school district and charter schools.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.
Hey, that's how I say it.
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't showing tier A.
That's true. That's true.
Or V or L.
Yes.
I was showing ankle, baby.
Yeah.